Welcome to The Backlog, a podcast hosted by Adaptivate. I'm Katie Cords, Head of Branded Content. Adaptivate partners with clients to accelerate outcomes by implementing new transformative ways of working. We're a global firm with offices in North America, Europe, Asia, and Australia. This episode of The Backlog is a bit different. We are featuring a guest episode from the European Association EFMA, or EFMA. EFMA is the largest international non-profit banking and insurance association that unites financial services industry professionals within a global network. EFMA's purpose is to support 120 financial groups in 133 countries through the creation of a strong community based on providing timely intelligence to enable members to optimize, innovate, and transform their performance through sharing members' best practices. EFMA's podcast, SME at a Glance, features expert views on the news. In this episode, EFMA's SME expert Lucas sat down with Adaptivate's own project lead in Europe, Slav. The two take a look at the most recent news in the world of SME banking, and Slav provides his expert point of view on the major trends in the industry. This episode was recorded in early 2021. We hope you enjoy. On with the episode.
Warm welcome to all our listeners. My name is Lucas, and you've joined EFMA's podcast, SME at a Glance, expert views on the news. In a one-to-one format, we aim to highlight the top news and trends from the world of SME banking and share our expert views on them. Each month, we'll bring you a fresh perspective from a new expert guest. So let's dive into it. My today's expert guest is Slawomir Koziol, former head of branch network strategy at mBank Poland and current Agile expert project lead at Adaptivate and BCG. Slawek, welcome. We are pleased to have you with us today.
Thank you, Lucas. Welcome. And thank you for having me.
Yeah, wonderful. I just realized that it's already March and I still remember, you know, the Christmas period. It hasn't been so far. Is it the same with you? Just, you know, the time flies so fast, can't even count the days.
Yes, yes, the time flies. And I think we're all very busy. And it looks like the New Year's resolution for many organizations was to really get busy and somehow get through this pandemic crisis.
Yeah, true story. Actually, it seems that, you know, working remotely makes a lot more people to be more busier than ever before. And that's why we are trying actually to bring this podcast, SME at a Glance, just to monitor the top news and trends that happen in the SME banking world. So let's go straight to some of them, which we have prepared for you today. The first one is around the topic push to digital, because obviously COVID-19 was a huge trigger, or even I would say acceleration point towards digital for many banks. So let's take a look from the first perspective of speeding up the digitization of SME clients. So as a first news, let's use one of our SME Bank of the Year nominee, Alliance Bank from Malaysia. So in June 2020, Alliance Bank introduced the BizSmart mobile app to enable business owners to conveniently manage their account, payments and collections, and approve transactions from anywhere. They also launched the Alliance BizSmart eTrade, so Malaysia's first mobile trade financing solution that enables business owners to submit banker's acceptance or trust received electronically via their mobile phones. And the most important, the results what they achieved in 2020, the bank's online transactions increased by approximately 30 to 40%, and customers were more willing to sign up for online banking to perform their transactions. So that's, you know, one of many examples. But apart from Alliance Bank, we've seen a number of initiatives by banks like Standard Bank South Africa, Sberbank Russia, Swedbank in Sweden to support their push to digital. So Slavek, what's your view on such initiatives and the results it brought to the SME banking?
The pandemic has pushed most of us practically overnight to working from home. And while this has been a significant change for many, there had already been a growing number of organizations that embraced remote working long before the pandemic. And I would argue that it hasn't created a new reality, but rather significantly accelerated trends that we have seen for years. And what does it mean for banks? Well, definitely faster development of some remote channel initiatives, digital solutions to respond to changing customer behavior. So the role of channels had to be redefined. The growth of digital offering became essential to business, while branches stepped into more of a supporting role. Branch location strategies will be less and less driven by customer traffic, and the trend to create local advisory hubs will accelerate. This trend will ultimately reduce branch network footprint while strengthening head offices, and in that case, especially technology, security, and compliance teams who will work on the digital offering.
To support your views on technology, you know, and security and the strengthening the head offices, we've seen some banks pushing the digitization internally via improvement of internal processes. And again, a good example is from one of our nominees to Bank of the Year in SME, and it was Desjardins Canada. As soon as the lockdown was announced, they quickly moved to implement temporary relief measures, obviously as all other banks, to make a difference for their SME clients, you know, in all areas such as financing, credit cards, group insurance, commercial vehicle insurance, but as well non-financial services. But Desjardins has also made some changes to the online SME financing solution. And this new industry-leading digital SME financing solution provides immediate automated decisions, obviously online, and the average disbursement process takes less than 2 days. So a slightly different angle on push to digital. So how do you perceive these two approaches? So do you perceive them as connected ones, which mutually support the whole transformation? Or should they be executed separately?
Well, Lucas, I think they're not only connected, but one fuels the other. So the role of SME relationship managers is changing. And improvements in automation and streamlining of loan processes, like with Desjardins Canada or Alliance Bank quoted before, the Standard Bank and many, many others, change the role of the RM to onboarding and education while focusing on high-value relationships and supporting the more complex financial decisions. Now, some banks try to redefine the role of RMs. For example, they roll out contact center infrastructure to branches and they utilize any surplus branch capacity to handle contact center traffic, like Alliance Bank in Malaysia or mBank in Poland. By acting as contact center agents, the RMs are using new processes streamlined specifically for remote channels. And there's one massively important thing I would like to point out here, and that's the critical role of data and analytics in driving further improvements in products and processes. Now, you can't really manage and improve what you can't measure and analyze. And anyone who's been managing a branch network knows how difficult it is to get precise data on what is going on at branches. Now, you can use transactional data like point of sale terminal transactions or ATM withdrawals to identify traffic patterns of your customers. And you can use mobile data to be more precise. And you can use multiple technologies to understand better what's going on at your branches, from simple traffic counters to more sophisticated video motion analysis, location methods based on beacons, Wi-Fi signal, and many others. But none of the above will give you the full picture, but a combination of them can give you a pretty decent picture of what's going on with branches. It will not, and I repeat, it will not, however, give you the amount of data on each interaction and the precision that the digital channels can offer, and not even close. So that means that a growing digital customer base translates to a wealth of information on customer behavior. And those who will be able to use this information to improve their processes and shape their offering will win, period. And to add to that, speaking to my colleagues in different banks, I noticed a change in mindset. So one of the key remarks I've had while we were making our 2020 year end summaries was that especially security and compliance teams have become less risk averse and more proactive over the year. So things that seemed impossible even a year ago have become possible. And it opened up new ways of thinking about digital processes and helped push digitization forward. And we can easily say that more and more banks now think of themselves as technology companies that happen to provide financial services, which I think is a very positive sign, and it will allow to better respond to customer needs in the future.
Interesting, you know, if I have just one takeaway from what you mentioned, that overnight, the things that were not possible to manage suddenly become possible. So that was quite a significant year we lived in 2020.
Yes, yes, yes. I would argue that it might be an external shock that the system needed to move to the next level.
Excellent. Now, let's approach the second topic, and it's very much connected to the whole transformation journeys. So there's been new ways of working as an impact of COVID-19 in terms of organizing ourselves, organizing the teams, the work during and post-pandemic. And among the recent news, we've seen that Danske Bank has laid off more than 200 employees and concluded voluntary redundancy terms with a further, again, you know, more than 200 staff as part of their two-year strategic overhaul. So Danske Bank claims that both the layoffs and the voluntary redundancy agreements form part of the discontinuation of more than 1,600 positions over a period of 6 to 12 months. This was announced, you know, earlier, and there might have been, you know, an obvious impact of COVID-19, but other reasons as well that might have initiated such initiatives even before. But how do you see the reasons behind and expected short-term or long-term impacts of these type of actions?
Yeah. So let's talk about this for a second. Well, the pandemic has put pressure on banks' profits with decreasing revenues and increasing loan loss provisions especially. And it pushed banks to look for other possible ways to drive down cost. Now, the traditional thinking about cost reduction is a detailed review of spending and very stringent cost control. Now, this, however, in my opinion, is more of a band-aid solution. It seems like a relatively quick fix, but it's easy to go too far and hurt the ability to generate new business. And typically, most of the cost you drive out will creep back in about 2 to 3 years. So cost reduction is not sustainable unless it's accompanied by radical change in the way we work. And we need to find better ways to organize our work and be more productive. And most managers I've talked to say that they're under constant pressure to do the same or more with less. And they need to change their ways of working if they don't want their teams to get frustrated and their people to burn out. And based on our experiences, agile ways of working increase efficiencies and reduce costs by 20 to 40%, and that sustainably. So I'm seeing more and more organizations following the footsteps of ING in Europe or ANZ in Australia and start agile at scale transformations. And I strongly believe this trend will continue into the future.
To support, again, those views, what we've seen in the market is that we've seen the expand of that kind of approach to the new ways of working by many more institutions. Again, you know, coming back to Netherlands, ABN AMRO is to slash its workforce by 15% and sell its head office in an effort to cut costs. Like other banks across, you know, Europe, ABN AMRO is taking a long, hard look at its real estate costs, with the trend to remote working now viewed as irreversible. So that's even, you know, again, the impact of COVID-19. So is this the new normal that we were expecting, that many of the other banks might follow, or just a tryout by the brave ones?
Yes. I mentioned changing the ways of working as a prerequisite in the new normal. And more organizations create multifunctional teams, light, nimble teams that deliver results fast. And agile is not just the domain of technology teams anymore. Some of the leading SME bankers specifically point to business agility as one of the critical factors in their team's ability to deal with the challenges of the pandemic. For example, our SME Banker of the Year nominees, like Laurie Darlington from RBC Canada or Nick Kuriani from TBC Georgia. And with the COVID situation looking more likely to carry on into the 2022, organizations declare the current year as a year of working from home, and some go even beyond that. Now, Spotify recently declared, actually they were one of the first to declare that they will not only allow, but actively support working from anywhere. Now, it's not the first time that a trend from a tech industry will impact others, and for sure we'll see more and more organizations support work from anywhere or their version of it. And agile teams with a clearly defined role, ceremonies, and working rhythms are very well prepared for remote and geographically dispersed teamwork. Now, I have seen many agile teams effectively working from anywhere before. And I personally watched the pandemic pressure test their ways of working. And this COVID test turned out positive, no pun intended. And where adjustments were necessary, teams were able to quickly identify them and adapt. And that's what agile teams do best.
I'm sure that many people can see a clear trend of agile transformation here and among many institutions across the world, not just in technological giants, as you mentioned, Spotify, but as well right now moving to financial industry. So what do you consider among key issues to overcome, accept, or get used to the new ways of working while implementing it?
Well, going through the best practices of agile transformation is probably beyond the scope of this podcast, but if I were to point out the essence of it, it would surely be a change in the mindset, the culture, and the values. So implementing new ways of working is not an exercise in organizational transformation. It's about understanding why we do it and thinking and behaving differently and enabling transparency for effective collaboration. And I'm going to use an example here from one of my colleagues because I think it's very, very accurate. Now, enabling transparency is sometimes like walking into a dark room and turning on a flashlight. So suddenly we see a mess. And unfortunately, what often happens is that the natural reaction is to turn off the light rather than clean up the mess. And if we overcome this initial reaction, acknowledge that mess and clean it up, we are on the right path. And I hope to see more of this type of courage in the years to come.
Fantastic. Slavek, thank you so much once again. I mean, that were some really wonderful insights based on the news that we've seen in the SME banking sector globally within the last couple of months. As mentioned, you know, this has been our March episode of 2021, and we hope actually to bring more inspirational speakers in the months to come. So Slavek, are we going to see you more active as well on SME banking space within AFMA community?
Yes, absolutely. Happy to be involved.
Fantastic. Looking forward to that. So as mentioned in the beginning, that was Slavek Oziol, our expert and former head of branch network strategy at mBank Poland and current agile expert, project lead at Adaptovate and BCG. Slavek, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This has been our podcast, SME at a Glance, expert views on the news.